بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We have reached verse 31 in our session on Surah Yasin. And previously that we looked at the verses of Allah Ta'ala, يَا حَصَّرَةً عَلَى الْإِبَادِ مَا يَأْتِهِ مِنْ رَسُولٍ لَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ أَلَمْ يَرَوْا كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ الْقُرُونِ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ وَإِنْ كُلٌّ لَمَّا جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ started from that وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَى قَوْمِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ يَا حَسْرَةً عَلَى الْعِبَادِ مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ لَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ So verses 28, 29, and 30. And today that we will start verse 31 بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And so that verse 28 translates, after him we did not send any army from heaven against his people, nor were we about to. It was but one cry, and they fell down lifeless. Alas for the servants, whenever a messenger comes to them, they ridicule him. So then in verse number 31, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the state of the awwaleen, the people that came before. And this is why it's very important when we understand the history that appears in the Quran. It is sacred history. And the difference between sacred history and that normal history, or if you will, just standard history that we tend to study, is that sacred history, there's meanings that we learn from it. And when it comes to those that are the beloved to Allah, there is emulation involved. We want to be like them. And when it comes to those who that disbelieve, for instance, that we want to avoid it. So sacred history is there to teach us lessons. Whereas many people just study history for the sake of knowing, just to study some type of phenomenon, or this happened or that happened. That sacred history is different because there are lessons of the past that we learn, that so that we can in the moment that figure out what is what we can do. And so Allah Ta'ala says in verse number 31, أَلَمْ يَرُوا كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ Do they not see how many generations we have destroyed before them? None of them whom will ever come back to them. And so, what we learn from this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us the state of the people who came before us. And that first and foremost is that this is addressing the people of Mecca, who are the ones that said to the Prophet ﷺ that you have not been sent. And so it is put in the form of a question that is indicating that this is something that we must know. Do they not see how many generations? And that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there are people that He punished and He destroyed, people that came before. The people of Ad, the people of even before him, Nuh, the people of Thamud, the people of Lut, Ahl Madian, Fir'aun and his army. There are people who came before. And as a result of their denying and belying the messengers, is that they had a punishment here in this world, let alone in relation to that the next world. And the way that Allah Ta'ala says this, أَلَمْ يَرَوْا Do they not see? Even though that you could use this word see for other than actually your physical eye. And that, yes, seeing, yes, you see with your physical eye, but also that seeing could come from thinking about something. And that this is what is called a رُؤْيَا فِكْرِيَا, a type of mental type of seeing that comes from knowledge that we have of the past. It's as if that we are seeing the past through this process of study. In other words, the knowledge that comes to the surface as a result of that study gives us the clarity of sight about what actually happened. And this is something that we know that there have been people of the past who have been destroyed. أَلَمْ يَرَوْا كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ. Do they not see how many generations we have destroyed before them? And that this is also to that teach us is that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the people that did come before is that these are not people that are just going to be left based upon what they did here in this world. There's going to be consequences for what happens to them even in the next world. And so none of them will ever come back to them. In other words, is that they're not going to be able to hear what it is that they said happened to them after they returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in verse number 32 wants to indicate to us the existence of hisab and iqab, which is the reckoning, and that will take place in the next world, and the potential punishment that even happens after this world. In verse 32, وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضُرُونَ. Yet all of them will be brought before us. Yet all of them will be brought before us. And when we study these verses, is that sometimes the meanings are fairly easy to understand. And what it really is about is this process of what you call emotional affectation, whereby which every verse that you read is that you want to bring about or have brought about within yourself the correct emotional response to that verse. And for instance, when we that hear verses that relate to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala destroying people, that we should that bring to mind the majestic attributes of Allah. And then the emotion that should rise to the heart is one of fear and trepidation, that this could happen to us. And so far from getting caught up in wondering why would Allah destroy people and so forth, the point is that how we respond to these verses. When we hear these verses about people being destroyed, they should bring about fear and instill fear in our hearts. And when we hear, for instance, like in verse 32, وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جِمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضُرُونَ, yet all of them will be brought before us. That reflection requires us to actually imagine that. Imagine our soul being taken, and we are being brought forth. What is used here is muhdarun. Hudur is presence. But if you put it in verbal form, أَحْضَرَ يُحْضِرُ is to make someone present. And if someone is muhdar, they've made to be present. And here, that muhdarun is in the plural, is that all of them, jami'un ladayna muhdarun, all of them will be brought before us. In other words, they will be driven to us, that qahran, that and that by force, and they have no choice in this, and they will be brought to us so that we can reckon them, and then that to weigh their deeds, the good and the bad alike, and to that give a judgment towards that each every single one of them. And so that all of the umam, all of the previous nations that came before us, is that every single one of them will be brought to the hisab, to the reckoning, on the day of judgment, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will that judge every single person's actions. And this is similar to the words of Allah Ta'ala in Surah Hud, وَإِنَّ كُلَّ نَمَّا لَيُوَفِّيَنَّهُمْ رَبُّكَ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. And that translates as, and indeed, that all of them that will be, that all of them will be that taken to account by the Lord for their acts. And he will give every physical person what it is that they deserve. In other words, is that the consequences here in this world are just one thing. This is where it starts. But the greatest of consequences happen in the next world when we stand before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for the reckoning. And then in verse number 33, Allah Ta'ala says, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ. There is a sign for them in the lifeless earth, the dead earth. We give it life and we produce grain from it for them to eat. So notice here that Allah Ta'ala was that putting in the form of a question, but for a particular rhetorical purpose, as that, do they not see how many generations we have destroyed before them? And then that he mentions after that, yet all of them will be brought before us. And so that the destruction here was in this world, and then they were brought before us, and this will happen, that in the next world. And then that Allah Ta'ala that wants to give us a sign whereby which that we can come to the conclusion that there is a resurrection. And that he says, there is a sign for them in the lifeless dead earth. We give it life and we produce grain from it for them to eat. And this is a very common Quranic rhetorical device whereby which that we are reminded of the wonders in creation and how they point to the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, that they point to the perfection of Allah Ta'ala, and that all of the great attributes of our Lord Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala were called to reflect upon His creation Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and that the result of that reflection is that we come to know certain attributes that He has Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And specifically here, off of the tree, it looks like, and when you first look at it, you can't imagine how something could actually grow again on that leafless tree or on that piece of land that has nothing on it. And that then all of a sudden spring comes and the weather starts to get a little bit warmer and everything is prepared. The leaves start to come back upon the trees, is that the flowers start to come out, and that as you plant the seeds shortly that after, is that things start to grow again in that barren earth. And these are signs. Just as those things appear dead but were brought back to life in that sense, likewise the one who caused that to happen can, Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that as he wills, cause human beings to also be resurrected. And so this is here for us to that think about the all of these manifestations that we see here in the world of death and how that they are then turned to life can point to Allah Ta'ala's that ability, and He's all powerful Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, to that create a resurrection and to bring that all human beings who died back to life. And so that وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا, so that giving life to this dead earth, وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا, and we produce grain from it, فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ, for them to eat. And grain of all different sorts, whether that's barley or whether that's wheat or whatever it is, corn, grain of all different sorts. Allah Ta'ala brings it forth from the earth, Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And so that this is a clear indication of not only His existence, but also His that ability, the power that He has to bring about the resurrection, Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But it requires us to reflect. If we just look at it and we just think that, oh, it's just something that is happening, this is just the way it is that we'll be cut off from that potential meaning. But by witnessing this, it indicates to us, because everything ultimately is a manifestation of one of the names and attributes of Allah Ta'ala, that every act is ultimately an act of God from the standpoint of reality, Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, that indicates to us that by form of a question, that how does that this relate to the verses that came before? And he says that it relates to the verses that came before in two ways. That one, that when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ, yet all of them will be brought before us. كَانَ ذَلِكَ إِشَارَةً إِلَى الْحَشْرِ, this indicates the resurrection. فَذَكَرَ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى إِمْكَانِهِ قَطْعًا لِلْإِنْكَارِهِمْ, as it indicates that meaning, if we reflect upon it, which would indicate to us Allah's ability to that resurrect people. And that the second aspect of this is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the state of the mursaleen, of the messengers, and that the destruction of those who deny them, is that وَكَانَ شُغُلُمْ التَّوْحِيدِ ذَكَرَ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ, and that this matter was ultimately a matter of that belief in the divine unity, is that he indicated what indicates it. وَبَدَأْ بِالْعُلِّ كُنْهَا مَكَانَهُمْ لَا مُفَارَكَةَ لَهُمْ مِنْهَا عَنْدَ الْحَرَكَةَ وَالسُّكُونَ, and he began with what was close to them, which was this earth. And so that they're here on the earth, and so I give them an example of here on earth and witnessing that what took place before them should indicate to them attributes of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that help them come to that the right conclusion. But this is the nature of disbelief, is that things are covered up. He also points out another very interesting point, that he says here that the earth is ultimately assigned for everyone. And so why does Allah Ta'ala say, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ, there is a sign for them, meaning those who that denied the truth. But the earth is really a sign for everyone. And this is really a spiritual point that he points out. Why would Allah Ta'ala specify that it's a sign for them? He says, is that whoever that knows something, as he says here, that وَأَمَّا مَنْ عَرَفَ الشَّيْءِ بِطَرِيكَ الرُّؤْيَا لَا يُذْكُرُ لَهُ دَلِيلٌ, whoever knows someone by the path of witnessing, is that they're not in need of a proof of it. So, for instance, the sun, if you're looking at the sun, and you don't have to have anyone prove to you when you see the sun right before your eyes that the sun is actually shining. But what he means here is that a spiritual ru'ya, of having that a strong faith at the level of the heart and seeing with the eye of the heart. Because he says that the Prophet and the righteous servants of Allah, عَرَفُ اللَّهَ قَبْلَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ, they knew Allah before knowing the earth and the heavens. فَلَيْسَتْ الْأَرْضِ مُعَرَّفَةً لَهُمْ, that the earth itself is that not going to that take them to a knowledge of Allah. Because they knew Allah before the earth. The vast majority of people that do, as was mentioned, come to know the attributes of Allah through what He has in His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, and this is like Allah Ta'ala says, سَنَرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنْفُسِهِمْ, we shall surely show them our signs in the horizons and in their own selves, حَتَّى يَتَّبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ, until it becomes clear to them that this is truth. And then the verses, that hit another verse, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنُّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. And so the whole point here is that this is a subtle indication of this elect group of creation, is that their knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is so strong, is that when that is that they see everything that He's created subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that they see it in the way that it's supposed to be seen, as opposed to that having what it is that they see indicate to them the existence of Allah. And there's no doubt that the former is higher. And then Allah Ta'ala says in verse number 34, وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَعْنَابٍ وَفَجَّلْنَا فِيهَا مِّن الْأَيُّونَ, we have put gardens of date palms and grapes in the earth, and we have made springs of water gush out of it. So that Allah Ta'ala is describing now that what happens when He subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this earth back to life, and that after the grain that comes forth for it for people to eat, He also puts gardens of date palms and grapes in the earth, and He's made springs of water gush out of it. And the reason that Allah, He mentions here date palms and grapevines, is that these were the two most precious fruits in the Arabian Peninsula, and that can also that point to all other forms of plant life whereby which is that we are provided for. And this word ja'ala in the Arabic language is very similar to khalaqa, which is to create. And we translate it here, we have put, but it's similar to the word create. And so Allah Ta'ala has that given us these things here in this earth. And if you really think about it, that think about the blessing of these two fruits, dates and grapes, and everything this that you can do with them, and all of their different states, and that you could eat grapes fresh, or is that you could that dry them, and all of the benefits from them, and how they can store for a that be stored for a long period of time, and that just think about the sweetness of these fruits, and that everything it is that they can be used for as well, and that how also is that tamar is, even though it's on one hand a fruit, but it's also a type of qut. It's also a type of staple food. And there were times not too long ago that in some of the places that we studied where this was actually what people would get as a wage. They would get their wage in dates. And the staple food that would primarily be bread and dates. That's what they would eat that on many occasions. And then Allah Ta'ala says, لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ وَمَا أَمِنَتُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, so that they could eat its fruit. It was not their own hands that made all this. How then can they not give thanks? So that Allah Ta'ala is that reminding His servants is that He brought these into existence here on earth, and He brought the earth to life and put gardens on it, and all different types of trees and bushes that have all different types of plants, like that date palms and that grape bushes and others. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala has that given us rivers that whereby which that we get water. And all of these blessings ultimately is that so that they could eat its fruit, and that it was not their hands that made all of this. Even though outwardly that they're farming and all of that and to doing everything it is that by the way of means for these things to be harvested, the reality is it's from Allah Jalla Jalala. And this is why it's one of the greatest ways to earn a living is agricultural. They actually mention this in the books of fiqh. It's one of the greatest ways to that earn a living. And there were many of the righteous people before us that well beyond the prophetic period that were farmers, and many of them were also great scholars. But even Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, for instance, was a farmer. This is a very noble profession and a very noble way to learn to earn money. And again, like most things in the modern world, when it becomes overcomplicated and all of the problems that have arisen from these mega farms and the whole food industry and so forth is an issue. Nevertheless, is that this remains one of the great ways too that earn a living, and all of the blessings that come through it by being close to the earth and living close to the earth and seeing the signs of Allah Ta'ala and learning all of these traits that you will naturally learn when you till the earth and care for it and you that grow things and then you harvest them and everything that needs to be there in terms of your that character in order to do that in that can a way that is consistent. There's a lot that you learn from it. And so, is that so that they could eat its fruit? It was not their hands that made all this. But still, even with all of that human effort, that ultimately, if it were not to be for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they would not be able to eat any of that fruit. None of it would actually grow, and it wouldn't be in existence to begin with. And then, أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, how can they not give thanks? How could we not give thanks? And there's something about a state of heart of kufr that closes the door of true gratitude. How can we not give thanks for everything that is that we have? But the problem is if we live in a time where the average grocery store houses 47,000 products and 80,000 square feet, and this is not even getting into the larger stores. And yes, some people shop in smaller ones, you know, but that this is very common to find grocery stores this large and with all the different produce looking that almost too good on that shelf. and that all the different choices that we have, it's very easy to forget the blessings that we have. Very easy. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ How can they not give thanks? When we have all of these blessings and we see all of this happen, that our response should be a response of giving thanks and showing true gratitude to Allah. But أَفَتِ النِّعْمَةِ الْإِلْفِ The pitfall of blessings is getting used to them, is becoming too accustomed to them. It becomes a pitfall. And sometimes we get deceived because that we're unable to truly that remind ourselves and to be aware of where these blessings are from. And these blessings should take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the great ways is that we can come to love Allah. أَحِبُّ اللَّهَ لِمَا يَغْضُوكُمْ بِهِ مِنْ نِعَمَهِ Love Allah for that which He provides you from His blessings. So just think about the blessings upon you in particular, that all the different types of food that we have to eat. And we should give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And by giving thanks and recognizing those blessings, how could you not love Allah who has that given you all of these blessed things? That this is indeed one of the great ways that we can come to love Him. And this is why we have to be very, very careful, all of us. And we've said this before, but we always remind ourselves to open up the food pantry and to say, there's no food. To open up the food pantry and to say, oh, there's no food here. Mommy, daddy, that we need food. And sometimes it's not the kids who do it. Sometimes it's adults who will complain. The husband to his wife or the wife to her husband. There's no food. And no food means, like in the story of the Prophet ﷺ about Ithar, is that when a man from the Ansar came to the Prophet ﷺ, he had a guest come to him, and this man was in need, and the Prophet wanted to help him and serve him some food. So the house he was staying in that night, he asked his wife that if they had any food, and there was no food in the house. All they had was water. So he sent a message to all of his other households, and every single one of them came back with the same response. There is not any food in the house. So we're not talking about not food that enough doesn't need. We're not talking about not having potato chips or snacks or sweets or desserts or anything like that. There was no food in the house, in any of the houses. All they had was water. Imagine going to sleep at night and literally having nothing in your house, nothing except water. It's unimaginable for us. If we think about that, this has a different meaning. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ How can they not give thanks? أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ How can they not give thanks? That is truly not having anything. And then the Prophet ﷺ that sent, asked if there was anyone that would take care of this man. And a man from the Ansar said, I will, Ya Rasulullah. So he takes him back to the house. And just to show you how widespread this phenomenon was, he asks his wife if they have anything at home. And she says, there's just enough food for the kids. So he says, put the kids to sleep. Just try to find a way to put them to sleep. And then prepare the food. And so she found a way to put the kids to sleep. Imagine if our kids had to go to sleep without dinner. No dinner. And keep in mind, they're not snacking all day. The last time they would have eaten would have been morning time, likely. So not having any food, and then not having multiple types of food, very simple food on top of all of that, and then having to sleep without dinner. And so she puts the kids to sleep, and then the man says to his wife, there's not enough food, really, except for our guest. So when we start to eat, turn the lamp off so it's dark in the room, and just pretend like you're eating. So they that serve the food, they turn the lamp off, and the husband and wife pretend like they're eating so their guest can take his fill. And so he finishes the food. And they went to sleep without food. And then the next morning, that Allah Ta'ala, that the Prophet ﷺ, that came out to them and said that your Lord is amazed at what you did last night. Ajiba rabbuk. And the meaning of ajiba here is contentment. He's content with what you did. and the verse was revealed that وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, and they prefer others over their own selves even if they be in absolute need. It's the highest degree of generosity. It's one thing to give charity. It's one thing to give that charity when you don't really have a lot of money. But it's another thing to that prefer others over your own self. But it's yet another thing to prefer others over your own self even when you are actually in need, in absolute need. And they used to mention that when in that there would be times during the times of the companions where someone would gift, make a dish and gift it to their neighbor. So they'd make like a nice dish and gift it to their neighbor. And then that neighbor would actually think about other people. Maybe someone else needs this more than me, and gift it to another neighbor, and to another neighbor, until they mentioned that to 9 different people, and then it actually came back to the one who first gave it. So if that happened in our time, people would be like, oh, what, they didn't like my cooking? What, did I not do something right? These people were preferring others over their own selves. So it wasn't just, here's a gift, I'm going to dig in and eat. They actually thought before they ate, does someone need this more than me? And so then they gifted it to their neighbor. Does someone need this more than me? Then they gifted it to their neighbor. Until it, 9 people it went to, until it came back to the original person. And this is the way they were. And this is why that this is that as close to an ideal society as you're going to have here on planet Earth. And the mistakes of the companions are there for us to know what to do when people make mistakes. But we believe that all the companions have received the contentment of Allah Jalla Jalalu. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, how can they not give thanks? We have to give thanks to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for what it is that we have. And then, that after Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that commanded us to have shukr, and that part of shukr is that to have ibadah, and that then he that tells us Subhanahu wa Ta'ala after that is that we need to be people who that preserve the transcendence of our Lord. Subhanalladhi khalaqa al-azwaja kullaha mimma tunbitul ardu min anfusihim wa mimma la ya'lamun. Glory be to him who created all the pairs of things that the earth produces, as well as themselves and other things they do not know about. And so that when we say Subhanallah, that this is a kalima of tanziyah, that we are that acknowledging the transcendence of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. In other words, is that glory be to him, transcendent is he. Is it we as believers only ascribe what is befitting to our Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? And here, Subhanalladhi, glory be to him who خلق الأزواج كلها, who created all the pairs of all things. So this word azwaj, you could translate it as pairs, or you could translate it as asnaf, the different types of things. So either the pairs of things, like man, woman, heaven, earth, moon, sun, night, day, or that you could say is that it means the asnaf, the different types of things. Both of those are valid understandings of this word azwaj, and that both really that relate to this verse, because Allah Ta'ala says that the earth produces as well as themselves and other things they do not know about. So Allah Ta'ala that created all the different types of things that the earth produces, trees and all the different types of trees and all the different types of fruits and all the different types of foliage and everything of that nature and all the different tastes that each of them have and all the different scents that they all have and the way that they look and all the different leaves and trees and how the different trees look and then the different blossoms on all of them, and some of them are fruit bearing, others are not. All of these different that types of things that we see coming from the earth, this is all from Allah. And the amazing thing is that all of them require water. And so water is a single entity. It comes down to the earth, and then all of these things come. from water. And that all multiplicity ultimately comes from Tawheed. And all numbers essentially get back to one and are that collection of a series of ones. Seven is one seven times. 1,313 is that 1,313 ones added together ultimately. Everything gets back to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ وَمِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ as well as themselves. As well as themselves. Is that male-female pair is one of the greatest archetypal pairs is that we find. And there are many others and that we learn through our knowledge of the pairs a number of meanings, and there is deep wisdom in it. That one of them being is that everything ultimately in Allah Ta'ala's creation points to His oneness. Is that everything indicates His oneness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this is the foundation of all belief, the belief in Tawheed. And we also know, وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ in another verse, and He creates that which you don't know. There are things that Allah Ta'ala has created that none of us will ever know. And no matter how much we discover in science, and there's nothing wrong with discovering things, this is actually a good thing, it should strengthen our iman, what we will come to know will never be other than the tiniest fraction of what there is to know from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And then in closing, the ishara that is mentioned and the Bahr al-Madid by Sidi Ahmed ibn Ajiba, he says, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ النَّفْسِ الْمَيْتَةِ بَالْجَهْلِ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا بِالْعِلْمِ. You can that say that instead of the physical earth, that is also relates to the nafs, is that when it's dead through ignorance, Allah Ta'ala can bring it to life with knowledge. وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا عِلْمًا نُدُنِيًا and that we bring forth from it that knowledge that comes from our presence. فَمِنْهُ تَتَّقَوَّتِ الْقُلُوبِ الْأَرْوَاحِ and it is that from that knowledge is that the hearts and the spirits find provision. وَجَعْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتِ الْمَعَرِفِ and that place for him then the gardens of gnosis. مِنْ نَخِيلِ الْحَقَائِقِ from the palm trees of spiritualities. وَعْنَابِ الشَّرَائِقِ and the grapes of that the sacred law. وَفَرْجَنَا فِيهَا مِنْ عُيُونِ الْحِكَمِ and that we cause to pour forth from there the springs of wisdom. لِيَأْكُلُ مِنْ ثَمَرَهِ so he can eat from its fruits. وَمِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ and that which their hands have that have made. مِنِ الْمُجَاهَدَاتِ وَمُكَابَدَاتِ this relates to the spiritual struggle that they put in. فَإِنَّهَا تُثْمِرْ الْمُشَاهَدَاتِ because it produces that this spiritual witnessing. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَرْغَ الْأَزْوَاجُ كُلَّهَا and so that these pairs and types also that we could speak of them in relation to the spiritual states, the ahwal, the stations, the maqamat, the ulum and the ma'arif, and everything of this nature that the scholars of this science do discuss. And there are that many different levels of meaning in the Qur'an. لِكُلِ آيَةٍ ظَهْرٌ وَبَطْنٌ حَدٌ وَطَرَءٌ مَطْرَعٌ every verse has an outward meaning, an inward meaning, a limit, and a rising point, or a vantage point. And so the Qur'an has different that ways that we can understand it. But access to the inner meanings are always through the outward meanings. And one of the prerequisites of a tafsir ishari is that the interpretation does not contradict the outward meaning for it to be valid. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make these meanings that alive in our hearts, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs, and that may He benefit us through the wise Qur'an, benefit us through Surah Yasin, especially in this blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala accept from all of us. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.